Hello everyone and welcome all of you to Nikki Lyle Creative Presents with Industry Leaders, where today I'm joined by a very special guest, Yaza Twins. So I'm so excited to have you both join me today. Thank you. So would you mind just quickly telling us a bit about yourselves?
So hello everybody, I'm Marta.
And I am Eva. Nice to see you all.
Yeah. So we are Yaza Twins. We are Spanish twins that have been living in London for a few years now. We founded this studio called Yaza Twins, and we specialize in branding, graphic design in general, typography, a bit of animation, magazine design, yeah, a bit of everything. Eva, what do you have to say?
I don't think I need to add anything to that.
So my first question for you both is, at what point in your life did you decide that you wanted to become a creative? Was there a defining moment?
I think since we were kids, even before speaking or walking, we were very attracted by drawing, by pencils all the time, like drawing in our walls and things like that. So since but you can speak, maybe I'm speaking too much.
No, sorry, sir. I think we were clear, yeah, as Marta said, from the beginning to do something like art. It's just we didn't know about design until we kind of were in university. So then we switched to design, let's say.
Yeah, I think that's a common thread, actually. Most creatives, you start off gravitating towards design and art at school. And then it's only when you finish your studies and you're maybe the age of like 16, 17, 18, you really discover graphic design as a career option.
Exactly.
And so was there any competition between you both when you were younger being creative?
Yeah, it was more like a collaboration rather than a competition.
Okay, that's amazing. And so at what point did you decide that you wanted to collaborate and join forces and create your own studio?
So I will start with this. When I grew up and I went to university, I didn't know what graphic design was.
Yeah.
Eva didn't as well. So I studied construction engineering because I really like numbers and buildings and all these things. I never studied fine arts. And later, like, Eva discovered graphic design. And when I finished graduating my university, our country, Spain, had a huge crisis. So the jobs in construction, architecture, and all of these kind of jobs were really affected. So it was really difficult to get a proper job with a proper salary. And I decided to do the master's that Eva was doing in London of graphic design, and that's how I started. And Eva, I give you the word now.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to know how we started the studio or?
Or even the backstory of how, because I know you both started in different ways as well. And different routes as designers.
So I studied fine arts in Madrid. And well, I mean, being realistic, the people who do live out of art was very minimum. So I wanted to see any other ways I could make a living. So I wanted to do art restoration. And I went to the first class and it was so boring. Like, I imagined my whole life just restoring someone else's art like this, like that I took like introduction to design. And it was really like a window opened for me, and I was really passionate about design. So I ended up specializing in design inside of fine arts. And then I decided to study in Centro San Martín, a master in graphic design, which Marta studied after. And that's how we kind of got into this world.
Yeah, and after you finished studying, what was your first job as a creative?
So I was in different studios. So I did internships in Madrid with one guy just before I came here. And after, I was with Sackmeister and Waltz in New York. That was one of my first internships, and it was really cool. And after I landed my first kind of proper job in Magpie Studio, I was interning, and then I became like a graphic designer there.
Yeah.
And for me, I started working in a fashion photography studio in Camden. I was like there. I started as assistant and stayed with them 2 years and learned so many things. And yeah, that was my job before I could open Yaza Twins.
at what point did you decide that you wanted to collaborate and create your own studio?
So it kind of very naturally, no? Like, we knew that we were not having like proper chances at the beginning of getting proper design jobs because we were like immigrants, recent graduates. So we started like making projects together because we really understood that maybe it was destiny that you had to follow that, and things were going more successful for us when we were collaborating than working alone. So why not? It made sense. It was very natural, I think.
Yeah, and what was one of the first jobs that you started working on as a studio?
I would say one of the first jobs is when we were 18, we saved an old bread factory, like a brutalist building that was going to be demolished in our hometown. And it was had been abandoned after we saved it for 10 years. So we thought, okay, we really want to do like a museum branding. That would be our dream. So we're going to take this building as if it's been restored, and we're going to create an imaginary kind of a branding project for it. Like if we have in our hometown where it doesn't have big museums, like a really big museum. So the project went quite viral. It went kind of on all the newspapers, and it was kind of like just to practice ourselves and collaborate together. So eventually it led us to our first clients. That's how we started, basically.
That is such a great story. I think I remember seeing you give that presentation for Nicer Tuesday.
Could be.
Years ago. Yeah, and because this is something I say to junior creators a lot. There's no harm trying self-initiated projects and work where you, like your example, where you imagine how you'd rebrand an identity for somewhere, and then that getting industry recognition, that's brilliant. And to know that it worked for you.
I would say we're never tired of repeating that. Yeah, that self-initiated projects can make a career. It's not the only project that gave us clients or like a purpose. So maybe you don't want to open your own studio, but it's going to land you a really good job because your future bosses will see that you're really into design.
Yeah, like clients normally, they will not come to you if they haven't seen. Imagine that they want to make their rebrand of a museum. They will not come to you to make their rebrand of their museum if they don't see that you can do it, if you don't have it in your portfolio already. So even if that museum doesn't exist, it's very important for students to make it.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say that you have a distinct design style at all?
Perhaps others say so, but we try not to. Like, if we take every project individually and they all should look individually. Obviously, as a human being and not a machine, there is always some kind of a starting point you have with every project in common, I guess.
Mm. And where do you look to for inspiration creatively?
We really like reading It's Nice That. It's really inspirational. Also Instagram, a lot of like design magazines, and everywhere. You can even get inspiration from music, from speaking to your friends, your family. Like inspiration comes from everywhere.
Yeah, I agree. And are there any projects that stand out that you're particularly quite proud of that you've produced?
Yeah, I'm very proud of the magazine Neo 2, or Neo 2, you will say. It's like a Spanish magazine for culture and stuff. I'm really proud of what we did with it, the branding and how the layout of every page looked like.
Yeah. And is that a project you're both particularly proud of?
Yeah, I also like a lot the Smirnoff one, the one that we were able to create like a special edition bottle with HP. Because we learn a lot of printing techniques, like for example, if you print with 7 inks, which is the basic colors plus orange and purple, with the printer you have to speak this, many printers offer that, but you can get colors that are as bright as RGB, so that is like impressive for me.
So at what point did you relocate from Spain over to London?
So it was, I came here 9 years ago to study and just stayed here. And Marta came 7 years ago, right?
Yeah, I came 6 or 7 years ago also to study and stay here after I graduate.
And what attracted you to London?
Well, the first thing was the best university of design of Europe, which is Central St. Martin's.
Yeah.
That is number one. And also the culture is very open. The art scene and design scene is impressive here. You can meet so many creatives in so many like types that, I don't know, it's really, really nice to make crazy projects with the people you meet in the city. So it's very, very nice.
Yeah, for us it's like a culture of, like a center of the culture in Europe. So it's really cool being here.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's one of the things I love about London is any project that you have that you need to work on, you've just got anyone you could ever want within access to you to collaborate with. Are there any big design mistakes you've made on a job or a project? And if so, how did you overcome those?
Like obviously before we handed to the end, yes, we've made huge mistakes because we are hands on everything. But we try to don't like let the client know, basically. So basically you have to like be in constant communication with them so you know that you understood the brief correctly and you know that they are expecting what you will give to them and all of that. But obviously there has been misunderstandings. We just like try to sort them out. We are all humans, so it's normal.
Yeah. And what's the particular way that you work with your clients when you work on a particular job?
We normally divide our project in stages. So we always involve a lot of the clients so they don't kind of expect a finalized brand without having a say on it. So we will start with concepts and then more with the style, and they are included the whole process through presentations.
Yeah. Okay. So you have like a step-by-step process. Do you present a few options and then have them decide on those, or do you just present one option to clients?
It is what we agree, but normally we present more than one option. Some clients want a particular number, others are happy with two. It depends on the budget as well. Yeah, so it depends on many factors, but it's better to present more than one idea because you never know what they are into. So at least you have a backup if they don't like your favorite idea.
Yeah, definitely. And as a studio, how do you go about attracting new clients?
For us, the typical thing of sending an email and saying, hi, we are this studio, we can make this, it never ever worked. Like people don't even reply to us. So our clients basically come because someone has worked with us before and they recommend us mouth by mouth. But many things work like that in this industry. So that's why it's so important to put your work out there in Instagram, in social media.
And what have you found has been one of the most effective tools in social media that you've used to help with showing your work?
I would say either Behance or Instagram, both of them have been very helpful at the beginning of our career. I guess today, nowadays, Instagram is very relevant.
Yeah. Definitely. I agree. And what advice would you give to any junior creatives that are just starting out in the industry at this moment in time?
When we graduated, like there was also a huge crisis in Spain. So we kind of have experience of starting in the worst of the times. We recommend them to never give up, to keep creative, always do something. Maybe like, for example, we save a building that has nothing to do with graphic design, but somehow later we made the branding for this building and it helped our career. So do what you feel like, follow your instinct and your heart, but never stay like, don't use excuses to say, oh yeah, but I don't have time because I'm working in a restaurant or in a bar and it's so many hours. Eva and me were working also in shops and in restaurants when we were students and after that, and still we had time to create our own projects in the night or in the weekend. So yeah, don't find excuses. It's a time for work hard. It's a global crisis, so you need to be working hard. Unless you are from a millionaire family.
So you two are pretty much self-made. That's quite inspiring to hear that, you know, on the side you're working other jobs like in restaurants and in bars and then creating work on the side as well.
Yeah, it's always been important for us to be focused of what we want to do, because when you are like just graduated, obviously you don't have a lot of opportunities. So maybe you work in a restaurant, but don't forget what is your dream and make it happen by personal projects. It's gonna always lead you to the industry, to a job, an internship, you never know. So yeah, it's hard for everyone when you start. So just think it's gonna be temporary and after things will go better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But don't be one of these people that is always, oh, I need to do my portfolio, I need to do my... No, do it. Seriously, if you cannot handle the huge project that you have in mind, do something smaller and that's it. Little by little, fill it up.
Yeah, just keep going and keep creating. I do agree with you there about excuses that people make. I've been quite honest about the fact that every now and then this year, I had to pick up some hours in support work, where I was supporting disabled adults that live independently for extra income whilst running Nicky Lyle Creative. So I was still, you know, working jobs, but it was just something extra that I did. And I guess if you're passionate about your industry path, you won't give up and you'll keep doing it. And this is another thing I've been saying to lots of creators that have had to do that in a downtime to pick up extra hours. It doesn't make you any less of a creative. It just means right now you're doing what you have to pay the bills.
But also you can learn from any job, right? Like it doesn't mean that it's not creative. It doesn't mean you don't learn from that. I learned like amazing organization skills from working in a restaurant and teamwork, you know, and that's really like valuable. So it says a lot that you... make the extra effort to do some to pay your bills, let's say. It means you have the aim and you are driven enough to make it work when you kind of go into this creative industry. So I think it makes sense.
It will make it tougher.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, definitely. So how have you found this year? Obviously it's been quite tough for most people.
Yeah,
like luckily our profession, we have the good luck that we can easily work wherever we want online as long as we have internet connection. So project wise some projects have dropped, but at the same time many people is deciding to do things that they didn't do for a long time, like rebrands or launching startups or things like this. They are using the free time that they have now. So yeah, like maybe some projects were out, but others are in, and I think we will all overcome this moment of history, hopefully soon.
And have you seen that, what I found quite interesting about this whole situation is the pause button's been pressed and everything slowed down. And a lot of people have had chance to do a bit of soul searching. And a lot of graphic designers I've spoken to have said, I want to live life with more purpose. I want to create work that has more purpose. And maybe some brands might be influenced by that. Have you seen that at all with your clients?
I think yes. I think we're all thinking what we're kind of wasting our life with, because work is kind of overtaking our lives and it's kind of limited. And I think we're all realizing that now. As well, I've spoken a lot with my friends how they think like people will stop living in the cities if you can work online. And perhaps it's going to be like a next revolution in which people go back to the villages. So I don't know how it's going to happen, but let's see.
Yeah, that's quite interesting. A lot of people I've spoken to, as you said, that are thinking of leaving the city. I mean, I left the city for a few years to set up my business and I couldn't wait to come back because, as you said, the culture of London is so rich and so diverse and you cannot beat the buzz of the city. So I'm predicting people might leave and think, oh, hang on a minute, I want to go back. You know. Okay, is there anything exciting for us to look out for that you're going to be producing soon that you can discuss?
We need to launch a lot of things in our website, but some of the brands we cannot really speak about it yet, but you will see a lot of surprise.
Yeah?
Surprise. Sorry.
Yeah.
Amazing. And do you hire freelancers to help you at all for certain projects?
Yeah, definitely. Like, for example, we don't know how to do coding, and sometimes our clients need websites or things like that. So we do the design part and we hire coders. Or sometimes we have too much work and we just like request to a freelancer to help us. So yeah, it happens sometimes depending on the project. We don't have a third worker right now, it's just us two, but we always work with other people with other skills.
And what sort of skills do you look for if you take on a third person to help other than coding and developing?
So it depends on the project. Yeah, like maybe we need support with design, so we will look for someone with the strong design skills. But if it's going to be animation or something we're not able to do at a professional level, it's going to be someone who can do that, basically. What we're looking for is quality, always.
Do you like people, anyone that might be listening to this that would love to work with you both, would you like people to get in touch maybe and share their work for future projects perhaps? And if so, yeah, what?
At the moment, we don't have positions, so just to let you know, we will reply you that on the email. But we always keep the portfolio that people send us. Also, if you want to have a portfolio review, we can let you know what things we think are stronger or something. So yeah, like feel free to reach out.
Okay, and what would be the best way for someone to reach out to you?
I think by email is the best, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Because it can be confusing, I find, when people connect on LinkedIn and then they tweet you and then they direct message you on Instagram. I always advise people that like email is the best way to get in touch. And especially sending through all attachments and make sure they work. So once they get your attention to potentially collaborate, they want to make sure you could really see their work as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because sometimes they send you websites and they end up like staying so long without loading that you are not able to see the work, and it's like, I don't have like half an hour to load this website. So you need to bear in mind that as well to make things efficient.
Yes. And do you like to receive PDF portfolios or websites?
I don't mind. Yeah, as long as the work is good. Yeah. I don't see it's very important, for example, CVs. Obviously, I wouldn't say don't send CVs over, but I think a good portfolio is more relevant for us, at least.
Yeah, I don't mind if you work in a cafe. If you're a great designer and I need you, I will get you.
Yeah, most, like 99.9% of the time, people are only interested in portfolios. And that's the beauty of design, is you're as good as your portfolio. And it's not always about where you've worked, it's about what you have created and what you could create.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you have any designers or design agencies that you look to for inspiration that you're quite inspired by at the moment?
I guess we always look for inspirations constantly, so everyone can be an inspiration. I don't know.
Yeah, we follow like more than 1,000 people on Instagram. So I guess all of them are an inspiration for us.
So basically everyone you follow on Instagram is who you're inspired by.
Yeah. There's really strong kind of designers these days. So it's really an inspiring moment to be in the creative industry.
Yeah, definitely. And do you ever work on like side hustles or passion projects as well as client work?
Yes, I mean, when we are really busy, we're not able to, but we always try to make personal projects when we're a little bit more free. Sometimes you have like a week, you don't need to work full time, so that's what we will do.
Yeah, we do that, or we tidy up our portfolio to show a project that perhaps we couldn't upload it yet or something, because sometimes it's not how you present your projects in their portfolio, is like how beautiful they look, how well presented it is, and how clean, because some people have great ideas but later take really bad pictures. So yeah, bear in mind if you make your own CV or PDF or whatever, that it looks professional is the most important thing.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. As a designer, you should be designing how you're presenting yourself. It's not enough just to say, oh, this was the design. It needs to be beautifully photographed and almost show the details, because as designers and creative, we love those little details. So I always say just show them off when you're putting together your work. So if anyone that's watching this is inspired by you both to set up their own studio, what top advice would you give?
So I would say work for other people before, because you will learn many things you don't expect to learn. So that's really important. And always be open to collaborate with others.
Yeah. Okay. And what about the more technical side, to like setting up your company? Is that something you both try to manage yourselves, or do you outsource it? Because sometimes that can be the challenging part of running a company.
So we have an accountant, but the rest we kind of do it ourselves because we are still small. So it's not taking a lot of time for us.
Where are most of your clients based? Are they UK based or overseas?
So we have many clients in the UK, but they are mostly internationally. So we have like all over Europe, in Spain, in America, in Asia. So yeah, it's like everywhere, which is really cool. And I think it's something that every studio is facing right now, international clients, that you can work with them from anywhere. So it's cool.
And have you found any markets are a bit busier at the moment, like the Asian market currently?
We find that the one that is busier right now is the USA market, we feel, but yeah, personally with our studio, maybe another studio has more market in Asia at this moment.
Yeah, that is an interesting observation that I found as well, that the US market, it just hasn't been as affected as other countries, despite COVID, even though the rates and the cases and the deaths are so high. They're just carrying on business as usual, it seems.
Yeah, but well, it's because like you can agree or not with Boris Johnson policies or whatever, but at least with the scheme, which is very generous, many companies are able to carry on working, and that is impressive. Like, that is a really good solution. And I wish they implement the same in Spain, but they are not doing that.
No. No, it's what is the situation in Spain at the moment?
So, like right now, they are doing lockdowns by regions, so you cannot cross from one region to another. And also, the furlough scheme, I'm not really familiar with it, but it's not as the one of the UK where you just like are able to save your company super easily. They have helps for restaurants, but I don't know if it's enough for covering all the losses. So let's see.
Yeah. The struggle.
And so you've recently won a Spanish award, which is one of the highest accolades. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, so we won the Spanish National Design Awards in the category of young designers, and it's given by the government of Spain. So we're really excited for that. And we will get award from the Kings of Spain, so it's quite like, yay.
Major, that's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah, we're very thankful they kind of gave it to us and trust our work.
Yeah, that's incredible. So what's the Spanish design market like compared to UK?
So the Spanish market is very, how would you describe it? Very creative, no, Eva?
I would say there is a lot of great design studios in many places in Spain, but especially in Barcelona and Madrid, because they are the biggest cities. And the market is similar to the British one, I would say. It's a lot of international kind of names there. And yeah, we admire a lot of people who are based in Spain. So it's pretty cool there.
Yeah, definitely. Is there any kind of familiarities with an aesthetic at all that you see? Like, what would be the main differences, if you could pinpoint anything that would be different between UK design and Spanish design?
I would say Spanish design is more colorful, British, probably the both of them are really good quality. British is probably more about craft. And also if you think about American, like New York, I would say it's more about creativity or kind of more arty.
Yeah, that is really interesting. How would you compare that to other markets such as Asia clients that you work with?
I don't think we haven't worked with that many Asian clients. So
yeah, we work with three, so we don't have like a broad view of the whole market. But I would say they are slightly more traditional than European markets, for example.
Yeah. And if you were to kind of rank the countries that you enjoy creating work for, would you be able to position the clients that you enjoy working with?
No, because like it depends on the client, no? Some clients want to give you a lot of free, others less, so I couldn't like tidy in order the countries. I love all of them.
I would say the best clients are the ones who trust your work and your knowledge on this, so it's really important for us working with clients who believe in good design.
Yeah, definitely. One thing I found really interesting about lockdown is I've had a lot more clients in the US reach out to me, and I always traditionally just work the UK market. I've also had European clients from like Amsterdam reaching out a lot, and I think that almost because we've been in lockdown globally, people are online more and reaching out for collaborations, which I've found fascinating, actually.
Yeah. I think there's been a switch, right? To work online is becoming the normal. So I think that's a positive point out of this. And yeah, we can collaborate more with America or with other countries, yeah, easier.
Yeah, I think it's very good times for, because of that, at least let's see the positive side of COVID.
Yeah, definitely like a global collaboration where if you can get your head around the time zones, then you can make it work somehow. Because you're twins, you must have a very strong bond, a special connection. Do you usually have the same opinion regarding design, or do you disagree sometimes? And what are the differences between you both in terms of your design style?
Would you reply that, Marta, or?
So yeah, we have very different styles, which is very surprising for being twins. But it's very good because we trust each other, so we can freely say our opinion and arrive to a middle point, which is richer than when you just think the things by yourself. So we have really interesting conversations about how projects need to look like, what things can be added that will add value and things like that. So
yeah. I will also add to add that we have as well enough experience to understand what is working and what is not. So sometimes you will bring an idea to the table, the other one brings a really good idea, and we know which one is the best, but I guess experience gives you that.
Yeah. So is it normally quite harmonious between you both, where you both present an idea and you pretty much agree which is the better one without any...
I would say yes. Otherwise, if we cannot agree, we will present the two ideas to the client and let it go.
Yeah. Okay, and what are the two different design styles you both bring?
It depends on the project and what you are designing, but like maybe one of us have an approach to the project more crazy and the other one more conceptual.
Or... Yeah, normally it's more about the concept, I would say, where we could differ, but it's not very common. We, even if we present more than one idea, we both agree which one is the best one normally.
Yeah. Okay. So another question here is, you said you started your own company straight away. So that means you've never worked with any creative agency. So have you missed work with more experienced designers and taking their feedback and developing new skills?
Well, maybe you
I think you have, Amy. You've worked at other agencies before.
Yeah. We have a few of them. Well, what happened is when we graduated is when we struggled to find a job, and we work in these restaurants and stuff, but eventually we got jobs and we work for different agencies in London, in Madrid and in New York. And it was really important to get understand the industry better. And I wouldn't recommend people to graduate and open their own thing straight away without any experience.
Yeah, especially because also when you're working in other agencies, you can see how treating with clients is, how to like make them happy and everything, which is also a very important skill.
Yeah, definitely. And when I gave a talk for DNAD the other month, that's one of the things that I said is that you need to learn the rules first to know how to break them. And you have to the infrastructure of an agency. And there are reasons that certain design agencies thrive and they've been going for years and years because of a formula. But sometimes if you take all those ideas on board and then you just apply your own way of doing things, so like the Yaza Twins way of doing it, and then that's slight tweaking.
But you already know how it still works, so yeah, makes sense.
It's very good advice.
Do you have, this is another question, what books are you both reading at the moment?
I'm trying one. What do you have it here? I'm gonna start this one. I saw you.
I am reading an online book. It's called The Infinitive in a Junco. It's a Spanish book and written by.
I'm reading that one.
Ah, okay. So this book, maybe all of you are really interested about it. This author, Irene Vallejo, she just won the Spanish Award of Literature this year. She's pretty young, and she wrote this book, which is like a philosophical book that explains the beginning of books and writing, but in a really, really nice way, mixing philosophy, a bit of history. So it's really, really interesting. I recommend all of you to read it.
Yeah, okay, that sounds great. What was the name of it again?
Where can I write it down? Is there
in the chat box? Yeah, if you wouldn't mind, yeah. Then we can. Because that's what's so great as well is like your influence as Spanish creatives, and the fact that it's always good to have all sorts of different cultural references in regards to creating work.
Yeah, I think it's important to be into culture in general, not just single-minded into design.
Yeah, I agree. And is there anything else that you listen to? Like, are there any podcasts that you like at the moment?
I'm not listening to any podcasts at the moment. I normally listen more to music when I'm working, because if you need to think on stuff, you cannot be distracted. So it's like.
And what type of music do you listen to?
Just depends on the day. Anything from Justin Bieber to Grimm, so anything to Beethoven. Depends on the day, really.
Yeah. And are there any TV series that you've discovered at all during lockdown that you've enjoyed?
I love a lot of like history documentaries. I don't know why. I feel like really into them now. So yeah, learning a lot of history.
I watched one about chess. It's called something like The Queen of Gambit on Netflix, and it's really amazing.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Would you recommend it?
100% yes. It's really cool.
You produce some amazing work, and it's been great hearing more about your studio. When you first started out, how did you get your first client? So I guess beyond the self-initiated brief that you did, that
So we were able to don't work for other companies 3 years ago, or 2.5 is when we were able to full-time work as our studio. And it happened because a client from South Korea contacted us for making a run. And the budget like allow us to don't work for 3 months. So we said, okay, it's the moment now to jump into a new adventure. If it goes wrong after 3 months, we will find a new job. And yet this is how it started. And clients just get to know you by putting your work in social media, in Behance, Instagram, the dots as well, we use it. Yeah,
definitely. Because I think what's so strong about you both is you have a really strong brand. Like, everybody in the industry knows you both. And would you say that that's because you've both been quite proactively like hustling? I almost feel like you're magnets and you draw work to you.
I don't know. I don't think we are that trying that hard in Instagram. We barely post lately. But I would like to think that our work speaks for ourselves. So I guess we always have energy and passion for work on this, so I guess clients can see that.
Yeah, definitely. And I guess as you were saying earlier, how you promote, how you put together your work, which is so important, and clients can see that in the presentation of the care you take of your portfolio and your website when you have downtime.
Exactly, because we take a lot of attention to how we present the projects, because a bad picture can make a logo look bad, for example. So yeah, it's very important.
And would you say that you're quite proactive in the industry with reaching out to certain companies and publications to get your work out there?
No, because in our experience, it doesn't work for us. Every time we work, every time we write a magazine or a company to work or being published by them, they never reply. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so we just stopped doing it.
Do you find time to learn new things? If yes, what resources are you using? So do you follow any like courses or tutorials?
So at the moment, no, because we didn't have time. But something that I really want to get into is a way of doing kerning in typography faster. So if anybody has a tip or something, let us know.
And have you considered learning motion? Because motion is such a big thing at the moment that loads of people are upskilling in.
I mean, we have basic knowledge of motion because when we started, we tried to learn kind of everything, so to be self-efficient. But it's not, now we are in this point in life, we prefer to kind of call a freelancer and help us out with these things.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes it's better to have someone that is like an industry guru in that creates like a mind-blowing version of the motion to complement your design. And how would you like to see next year unfold off the back of everything that we've been through globally with COVID? Do you have any hopes of changes you'd like to see at all?
I mean, I hope there are going to be a lot of changes. I just hope there are going to be some positive ones. I'm really sorry for all the families that are suffering these days with all these lockdowns and like losing jobs. So I really hope, especially for people who are already suffering, that things will go better soon.
Yeah, definitely. What about
if you are not suffering, to try to bring positivity to the people that are suffering, because some people is really struggling out there. So maybe it's not you, but you never know who near you is struggling.
Yeah. Do you think that by reaching out to people, do you mean like within your local communities?
Yeah, definitely. Like for example, there might be an old person that lives near you and is by themselves and is really uncomfortable to go to the supermarket making queues all the time, or someone that their business has closed because it was unsustainable and maybe needs support. Yeah, who knows? Like, you know, there can be millions of situations right now.
Yeah, I do sense there is a bigger sense of community now. Like people are starting to realize who is the neighbor. So hopefully it's going to lead to people helping out each other.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially in London, where usually people will leave their area and travel into the cities, etc. We're all in the same street and suddenly everyone has got to know their neighbours a bit more. And I wonder if people are going to support more local businesses.
Yeah, especially Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. Do you have a particular type of client that you like to approach you for work? Is there a particular like sector? Because I know whenever you do like packaging, you create amazing packaging. I mean, do you sway towards a certain type of design that you like?
So me personally, I like clients that challenge you, that maybe they have an idea and that idea inspires you to do something that you will never have thought about if it was by yourself. So I really like these conversations with clients that lead to new things that are very interesting.
Yeah, I love all kinds of projects. I would say if I have a dream project is to make branding for a museum, for example. So let's see one day.
Yeah, Definitely, branding through a museum. I mean, if you say it, put it out into the universe, you never know.
Yeah.
Have you ever refused taking on some projects, and if so, why?
Yeah, recently we took one because the budget was asking to make a miracle. Sorry, the brief was asking to make a miracle with no time and no budget, and it was like, I'm really sorry, but I can't do miracles.
Yeah. We learn with time to kind of respect our work, so we try to be selective with our clients and make sure like it's gonna be worth for us and value.
Yeah, I agree. Have you found that this year clients have tried to offer less in regards to budget for projects?
Less maybe, yes, I think. But still, you need to respect what you do, because when we were like this process where we were like recent graduates and starting to find clients, maybe we were doing like projects for really low budgets. And at the end, we realized that the least the client pays, the least they respect you and they respect your time and your work, which is impressive. Like they expect more from you when they pay less. And it's like, no, like it should be the other way around. So we stopped kind of working for free or for almost free, because we always had problems with those clients.
Yeah, I agree with you there, actually. It's never a good sign if a client doesn't respect you enough to pay the right kind of fees. And I mean, a lot of people this year have been doing things like skill sharing. So I've done things for some agencies where I found them talent for free, and then they've done things for me for free. But I think as long as you're doing a bartering exchange of your services and your skills, there's a mutual respect there. But if you've got people working for free, then it just, they don't appreciate it as much.
Exactly.
Exactly. So obviously some people is lovely out there and they really respect you and they just don't have money to pay you. But in general, be careful with like non-paid projects with people that you don't know.
Yeah, definitely. And this is it. I think lots of design agencies out there, they should be paying their interns. There shouldn't be any of this like working for free.
Definitely. With interns, my opinion is that there are schemes that can pay them if you don't have money, but if you don't apply for a scheme, like if you 100% have someone for free in your studio not getting anything, I don't see the point. I think it's unfair.
Mm.
Yeah. Like there are Erasmus schemes and things like that where they can get an income, which is very important for them.
And I think as well, it makes it very classist. So only the kids that are from wealthy families can afford to work in studios.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't do free internships. There were some studios I wanted to work and I couldn't because I couldn't afford them. I couldn't afford working for them.
Yeah, definitely. And I know there's certain agencies like Pentagram as a rule where they won't take on freelancers without paying them. Because of those sorts of things, like you're only offering it to kids that can afford it, and then it just creates more imbalance in the industry.
Exactly, and you're cutting an opportunity to someone who is really could be valuable for the industry, you know. So it's pretty bad.
Yeah, it's like, what do you value more, the background of the person or the portfolio? I value more the portfolio of the person.
Yeah, definitely. So normally, where is your studio based?
We are based in Whitechapel normally.
Okay. What made you choose Whitechapel?
It's really close to Shoreditch. I would say it's like a really cultural hub there, so it's pretty cool there.
Yeah.
We have like an old Victorian house that rent offices, and we fell in love with it, and we said, yeah, okay, here is our studio.
And is it a shared space with others, or is it just your own studio that you both work from?
It's like a building with different offices. So you have neighbors, but your office is your office.
Yeah. And who are the other agencies that are based in the same building? Are they other creative agencies too?
They are not creative. Like one of them was like doing organic industrial design, and it's the most beautiful one. The others were charities, so a bit of everything, you know, like a mix and match.
Yeah, that's quite good actually. At least you've got a bit of diversity around you as well. So what are the main things you're looking forward to as we get out of lockdown and places you want to go to and revisit in London again?
I would like to visit our parents. I haven't been there since Christmas.
Oh, yeah, so, of course.
Pretty bad. So, but also after, I hope we can have a proper summer and travel a little bit.
For me, it's like number one, visit my parents and family and everything. And number two, go to museums. I really miss them. Like, I think I want to go to the British Museum.
Yeah, well, you need to pitch to the British Museum.
Hopefully.
What do you think of pitching for free? Is that something that you're against, or is that something that you do?
It depends on the client.
But... yeah, but I'm not sure about that. I think when you pitch, you should also get something, no? Because at the end, you're working.
Yeah.
Like, when you dedicate 1 week to pitch for a project, you don't get it, and later it's time you've lost, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think you should be paid.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should make it an industry standard where every client pays someone at least £1,000, if not £500, for their ideas as a minimum.
Yeah, a minimum of 1,000. Well, depending also what they want, because some clients want the whole project for the pitch for free, and it's a bit unfair, I feel, but yeah.
I think that's something as an industry we should make a stand against, actually, because I found a lot of clients big brands have been exploiting the fact we've been in COVID, and they've been getting all these design agencies just to pitch, just to give ideas, and it's like false hope, and it's working long hours when people are like, oh, we need this to come off, like hopefully it will, and then it's just a lot of clients are even saying, yeah, we're not going to do anything now until the new year. So I think if we all make a stand in the industry and say no one's working for free or pitching for free, and there should be a minimum of £1,000 that's paid. And then you maybe select 3 or 4 agencies. And then...
but also be clear, right, about the terms, how many other agencies are there, or what will happen if you win or if you don't. So...
yeah, this is it. And I don't know... I think if everybody is the same and doesn't pitch for free, then we might actually have a bit of industry change.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I think it is something we all need to be together, because if not, it won't happen.
Yeah. Are there any brands or agencies out there that you've heard that have been producing good things or positive things during this year?
I mean, I like everything that, for example, Nike does. Yeah. And I mean, so many agencies, it's just hard to just tell you just one. But
it was Carlsberg that is going to change all the glass bottles into some weird recycled material, which is really cool. So some agencies and companies are working together to redesign the new packaging of the future to be less polluting. And I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Do you think that's up to design agencies to advise clients to use more renewable sources or like recyclable materials, etc.?
Yeah, I think that as designers, it's our responsibility to, when a client approaches us, to teach them how to be more eco-friendly and the solutions that can twist their project to be more friendly with the earth. I think it's one of our responsibilities as creatives.
Yeah, definitely. And it would be good, do you know if there's any resources online where people have uncovered all of that for design agencies to tap into?
I don't think there is one that has all together, but you need to research online. Like for example, if you're doing packaging research, materials that are right now being experimented that help like the environment or things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any companies that you've got your eye on at the moment that are offering more greener solutions at all with materials?
There are many. Like we were working with some in the UK, but also there are in India for a project we were contacting them. All over the world, people is changing their mentality and starting to experiment with all of this.
Yeah.
So as well as you research, you find. Sorry, Eva.
No, as well as designers, it's in our hands to advise the clients about materials and which way they can help the planet a little bit. So let's hope this year that's one of the changes we will see.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think one thing I want to encourage clients to do this year is look at what pension companies they're using, because there's an issue with a lot of pension companies that are playing like the stock market with certain fossil fuels, etc., that damage the earth, and actually thinking of more eco-friendly companies and educating people with that. But yeah, I think that's the end of my questions, but I just want to, I know you're busy, so I really appreciate your time, both of you. So thank you for joining us today. And
thank you for inviting us.
No. And yeah, I can't wait to see what new projects you're going to be releasing. So we need to look out on your website, do we?
Yeah. Instagram is better, no?
Yeah, we will publish whenever we have the time to kind of.
Okay, so Instagram and your website.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you both. Take care.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.